super loud music because that's how we rock.
That is how we rock.
Hey, last week I was busy.
Yeah, me too.
And then we didn't hook up, so I went to do a solo pod and realized I had no discs.
Oh, yeah, and I just forgot to do mine. I got swamped, so
I went to, so then tonight, where I was like, oh, shit, I don't have any discs. We're doing a show. So I stopped at Best Buy on my way home.
Uh-huh.
And I bought 100, and I realized this is like 2 years worth of shows.
Right, yeah, now that we don't do it yeah. once a week.
So I'm like, okay, this is cool. It will be 2 years worth of shows because we don't always do one every week either.
Right. And I'm amazed Best Buy even had 100 packs.
I know. Usually now I find only like the 10 packs. Yes. Yeah. I don't even find the 50 packs anymore.
No. Usually you just see those super small. And it's for, you know, somebody who's like, oh, shit, I need to make one CD, you know? Like,
yeah. And now I know next time I buy them, I promise you it will be an online purchase only.
Right. Oh, no, for sure. You know, my new work computer doesn't have a CD drive in it. To load all that stuff to YouTube, I bought an external USB CD drive to...
What a pain in the ass. Like, they do that shit on purpose. I swear. Well,
but honestly, other than uploading that shit to YouTube, I don't need a CD player for anything.
Okay. I use my old laptop to watch almost all the DVD movies I have.
Oh, I still have a DVD player.
I have one. I have one in the house, and I use that. But it's most of the time I would do it on my laptop. I would watch movies on my laptop, and now that computer is toast, and I have to watch it on the one DVD player I have in the house.
I still have a Blu-ray DVD player, and what I realized is when it dies, now they're on Amazon for like $27, a shitty DVD player. So it's not like an outrageous purchase if you need to get another one.
Yeah.
Because I still have a crap load of DVDs. In fact, the kids and I just went through, Bing and I went through and got rid of a lot of stuff they aged out of. But there were a lot of movies we still like. And so we still have a decent sized collection.
Yeah, I have a fucking shitload of CDs still.
I've got rid of most of the CDs over the years. I have traded them in and got rid of them because I saw it coming where they weren't going to be worth anything. And for some weird reason, CDs don't last well. Like, even if they're just sitting in the case,
yeah,
they get weird, scratched up and stuff.
Yeah, and they skip and they get – it's funky how they don't really hold up that well.
No, because remember they were touted as lasting forever when they first came out. But that's why I wanted to get all those old shows, you know, archived somewhere. And that's why they're great. They're on YouTube. They can live there forever. But
hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in worst case scenario, if something happened to YouTube, they would give you the option to download them.
Yeah. Which would be like, yeah, fuck it. But it's too much.
Right. I'd probably just let them die. But I have a feeling at least it's looking like now YouTube will go on for a while.
Yeah. And it will be in the cloud, if anything else.
Right.
I had a conversation, about an hour-long conversation tonight on my way home from work with Chuck Eye.
What? Oh, what's Chuck up to? I haven't actually seen him in about a year.
He sees my wife all the time. He does a lot over at KLOS.
Okay. Yeah, he's freelance now, yeah. So a lot of those people hire him.
He now does a lot for record companies, too. That's the thing. That dude's the best engineer I've ever worked with. He's phenomenal at what he does.
He opened his own recording studio, too.
Yeah, and he does a lot with, like, record – like, they'll hire him to do shows, like, record companies and stuff. So he's doing some really, really cool stuff, but he's still as annoyed as ever with the radio industry, which is hysterical.
Well, that's why he really needs to – you know what the problem is? He's the last guy probably on Earth who knows how all those transmitters and shit work. No new young person understands that shit. New people are IT people. They're not transmitter people.
It's crazy. It's funny how he quit Clear Channel, but they have to use him. They don't have, not another person that they can go to. They have to use him for all their big shit.
Especially since a lot of their people have died since he left, you know, like the people who actually did engineering.
Yeah. All the engineer dudes.
And if they weren't such dicks, he would have still worked there. Now they have to pay him three times as much to have him help.
Oh God. There was a guy I worked with who was phenomenal, and his son grew up and was the chief engineer at K-Day when I was at K-Day. I think he may still be there. I don't know. And I asked Chuck where the dad was, because I haven't heard from him in a long time. And he said he's like a chief for like the Spanish broadcasting or whatever. But
okay.
he doesn't actually work anywhere. He just travels the entire Western region and checks on all their stations.
Okay.
He said he's traveling all the time. But that dad was awesome.
What was Chuck calling for? Just to complain?
He'd got my number from my wife and was shooting the shit. Oh. And then he was like, hey, what do you think of this thing he's doing? Just fucking typical Chuck-eyed craziness.
Yeah, he had a thing when I was at the label that he wanted us to work with him on, but it just never worked out.
Yeah. I love Chuck, man. But
yeah, no, he's a good guy and he knows his shit. And that's going to keep – you know what? The good thing is Chuck's set for the rest of his life because he still knows that shit and it'll be used in some way, shape, or form for the rest of his life. But anybody who was trying to learn that skill now would be out of a job in 20 years.
Yeah, it's a dying
thing, and that's why luckily he knows it. He's established. He'll be able to work, but I would not suggest anybody else get into that field.
I wouldn't suggest anyone get into radio, period.
No. Sure. Did you see another a few stations sold? I mean, it was news all week. One company fully got out of radio. You know, like these companies are just bailing and selling these stations for fractions of what they paid. And trust me, the people who are getting them aren't going to start making a shitload of money.
No, which is weird. The people are still buying them.
No, but they're getting a deal. And I guess if you use them properly, you can make a little bit of money. They're never going to be what they were, and these companies have done a great job of destroying them, so there's no way you could build them back, because in the time they were destroying them, other shit came up to replace them.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't really get why companies are buying. I get why the Christian broadcasters buy them, and I get kind of why the Spanish broadcasters buy them.
But I get why the guy that now owns Power and KLOS and K-Day is buying up stations in L.A. because his business is casinos in Las Vegas. So you can promote your own shit and do events at your casino, right, and you can do that kind of stuff. It's worth it to just own those. It's probably a write-off if they lose money.
I was going to say, it's probably a write-off, right? Because he can use it as no, that's true. When you have casino money, yeah, you might as well buy – you get these stations for, you know, $10 million, and you can use them just to promote your crap.
Yeah, even though they're doing bad moves there. I'm not a fan of their last two moves. They put Nick Cannon in mornings, which I'm
– did you see the team that they have put around him? I was going to ask – they announced that today, and I was curious if you knew any of these people, and now I'd have to look it up to see what they're doing.
He's been on the air for like 2 weeks already.
Yeah, well, they announced his – co-host today.
No, that was K-Day that they announced the new morning show.
I saw the Nick Cannon team, they said.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that.
In all access. Let me look it up.
Because on K-Day they announced today, the guy Romeo, who's been doing mornings there for a while, is now teamed up with CeCe. CeCe was the morning show I was producing when it was Tattoo and CeCe, and there couldn't be a person with a more giant ego in the world. And it's just like, how and why are they going to put up with that shit?
In fact, it was today. It says, Power Los Angeles set Nick Cannon morning lineup. So it is going to be Melissa Rios, Teddy Mora, and DJ Charisma with him.
Never heard of any of them, but didn't get
them. Okay, I didn't know. They said Rios came from KXOL Mega 96.3,
was a Spanglishy station or some crap like that here in
town. And Mora began his career at Power 106 as an intern and most recently hosted Saturday Nights, but that was probably after your run there.
Yeah, he's probably a DJ, like DJ.
Well, and then there's DJ Charisma too, who's part of that. But that's I didn't know who any of those people were, but I didn't know if you knew who they were.
No, I do not. I don't know nothing about nothing.
God, I can't remember the last time I listened to Power.
Yeah, what happened is everybody started playing, rap became mainstream and top 40, and now they sound as bad as fucking Kiss FM, because that's who's playing all their shit.
Yeah, they just played all the same stuff, and, you know, they kind of the talent went downhill a long time ago, and so I gave up on that a while ago.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Still can't believe they didn't hire the Baker Boys for anything with that show sitting out there with L.A.
No,
history.
No, I'm surprised, too.
Yet we'll go with Has-Been or Us. Yeah, the K-Day is just weird. The guy was already there. It wasn't even really a show. It's just a smokescreen. They put that chick on that I was with in there, and it's just...
That station doesn't matter that much. That doesn't
at all
get any... Yeah.
They just use it to flank buys. So, we got old hip-hop and new hip-hop.
Yeah, we'll put you on both stations.
I already thought of a huge promotion for them that they should do.
What's that?
When I was at the K-Power originally, back in the days, it was Powerhouse. It was not hip-hop. We were playing like Stacey Q and fucking Exposé and Stevie B and the Jets and like that kind of shit, that cha-cha music. And we would do those Powerhouse shows, and they were fucking huge. And, I mean, it was like the hottest ticket in town to get that shit with the cha-cha people. And I'm like, they should do one of those on K-Day. Do an original Powerhouse with all those old-ass, like, dance artists and do a show like that, because it'll bring in the old people. It won't work on Power.
Yeah, and then Power can do the new one like they do and then have, like, the throwback Powerhouse.
Old-school Powerhouse on fucking K-Day with – and you could hype it up and you could get all those acts because, trust me, they're not doing shit. And it would be a fun show. It'd be a cool show to go to if you're in our age bracket and you like Power back in those days.
It seems like all radio stations have a hard time filling up their shows now.
Yeah. Well, they're also expensive as fuck.
They don't sell tickets like they used to.
But originally back in the day, Power did two Powerhouses a year when I was like a street team person. And one, they sold zero tickets. They gave away all the tickets, and that one was always at the Palace, which is now Avalon. Is it still Avalon?
Which was small.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we gave away all the tickets for that. And then the second one would be at a big venue, and we would sell tickets and give away tickets.
Like Irvine Meadows, right?
We would do them weird places. Like we did it at the Queen Mary inside the Spruce Goose Dome. We did it on the roof of the Holiday Inn in Hollywood one time. We just did weird.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The one on the roof of the Holiday Inn in Hollywood, Bob Hope hosted our fireworks show.
No way. That's random.
We had fireworks come out, and they did a fireworks show that was synced to a mix that we played on Power. So they would do the mix in advance. They'd give it to the fireworks people, and they would choreograph the fireworks to the mix. It was pretty freaking cool.
How did they get Bob Hope involved?
He lived in Toluca Lake, and our boss was a big drunk that just golfed every day at Toluca Lake, and he knew him.
Oh, okay. So he met him through the lakeside.
And so we got him to come host the fucking thing. Dude, that one Powerhouse was – LL Cool J was there, and he was like 18 years old. So LL performed. Bob Hope hosted the fireworks show. And Smokey Robinson came out and fucking performed, of all people.
Wow. Yeah, that's a random
assortment. Yeah. Oh, and RoboCop flew there on a jetpack. It's fucking crazy, dude.
That's random.
It was fucking crazy. But there were these cool shows and all kinds of weird shit happened.
It's back when radio had power and you could get people to do shit. Now you listen and like their events suck ass.
Yep.
They can't. K Rock sold out Weenie Roast, but it took until like the day before the show. And I don't know if it legitimately sold out or if they just said that.
I think they just said that.
They were pumping tickets up until the day before the show. I've seen Wango Tango tickets on those, you know, discount ticket sites.
On Groupon.
Yeah, and like Gold Star and those ones that, you know, like radio, those shows.
Did those already happen? Because I didn't hear anything about either one of them.
What's that?
Did both those shows already happen?
Yeah, they happened. And I know for sure Weenie Rose happened. That was a few weeks ago and Limp Bizkit performed. And
we talked about that.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of buzz about that, but I think the Wango Tango happened. I don't know exactly when that one was, but there's just they don't have the power they used to. They don't have the you know, they're just not as cool. Now that you have things like Coachella And, you know, big festivals, a radio show is not as unique or interesting a thing. You know, there's festivals. I could rattle off dozens of festivals there are now. There's dozens of festivals in California. You don't need to wait for a radio show to see 10 bands you like.
Yeah. No shit. It's so. But typically it's not 10 bands you like. It's two bands you like.
Yeah. Two or three you like and three or four that you've never heard of.
The thing, though, I liked about those shows is usually there were songs you liked, not bands you liked, and you always got to see the songs you liked perform because the bands would play three or four songs or, you know, five songs set and bounce.
Yeah, no. I you know, when I worked at K-Rock and for years, I went to every one of those. Every one was awesome.
Yeah.
Like I
went
complain.
For years and years to Weenie Roast. Kevin's wife would always give us tickets. And at the time, my wife and I both worked at Power. And we would go every year, and she'd get us like third or fourth row seats, and we would sit there at Irvine Meadows. And those fucking shows were great.
They were great. And Irvine Meadows was perfect for that.
Yeah.
There's no venue that's as good as Irvine Meadows was for a big summer show like that.
Yeah.
Now your choices are either they're really small or they're way too big. That was just the right size where you felt like it was cool.
Yeah, and there's nothing like it anymore.
No, and same with, you know, Universal Amphitheater where they used to have Acoustic Christmas. You would go there and, you know, I think Universal Amphitheater was like 2,000 people. You would see bands that you would never see in that size venue. Now they do it at the Forum. Well, now you see bands that could never play the Forum on their own.
You know, like it flip-flops.
Yeah, and it's not nearly as cool to see a band that will never again be in a venue that big.
God. Yeah, it's so bad. Everything's awful.
But radio, I mean, like, honestly, who does radio matter to anymore? I talk to the young people at work. None of them listen to radio. My kids don't listen to radio. You don't hear radio having an impact on, you know, on conversation. Nobody says, oh, my God, did you hear what happened this morning? That used to be
anywhere on any show.
Yeah, it didn't matter. There were, first of all, you know, 7, 8, 10, a dozen morning shows, and they were all doing stuff that people were talking about that day.
Oh.
Now there's like 3 morning shows and nobody gives a shit.
I have an update of something I learned from Mr. Chuck Hyde today. Okay. He said, hey, I ran into Danny.
Oh, in L.A.?
And that's what I said, in L.A.? And he goes, yeah, he was here doing his morning show, and I was working somewhere, and someone told me, hey, you know Bonaducci, don't you? He's down the hall. And Chuck goes, I went down to talk to him. And I was like, what the fuck's he doing in L.A.? He goes, oh, he was doing his Philly morning show from here for a week.
Seattle.
And I said, no, he's in Seattle. And Chuck goes, no, he's not. He's in Philly now.
Oh, they bumped him from Seattle?
I don't know.
What kind of show is he doing in Philly?
He said it's a classic rock Philly station. He's doing the morning show there.
I never heard he got kicked out of
radio doesn't matter. So it wouldn't matter because... You know what I mean? And I was like, are you sure? And he goes, yes, it's Philly.
So wait, did he move back here or is he still living in Seattle?
No, he's in Philly.
Oh, he lives in Philly now?
Yes, according to the Chuckster. Let me see. Let me look it up. Here we go. Los Angeles. Radio shows in Los Angeles and Philadelphia and has been hosting a morning talk music in Seattle.
Yeah, they don't. They haven't. I'm looking at the Wikipedia too. It's not updated.
Huh. Let's see. I swear Chuck's got to be wrong, right?
Yeah, I think he's still in Seattle. Let's look. What's the name of the station in Seattle?
Fuck. I have no idea.
Look it up. It's called, some classic rock. It's probably called like the Eagle or.
It's called Ginger Gremlin.
Yeah.
Let's
see.
Danny and Sarah.
Yeah, that's it. 102.5 KZOK. They're still on the website. You know, like it. Show blogs, Sarah's beer blog. No, they're still on here. Maybe they're syndicated to Philly as well.
Yeah, but, maybe.
But it's on here. I mean, it shows them as being the morning show, and it's not.
Yeah, that's.
This is an up to date website.
Yeah, so I wonder what it is. He was in Philly years ago with my friend. Years ago. Years and years ago.
Yeah, and I didn't hear about him being syndicated. I think he's just – I bet he was in L.A. doing some acting thing or something and was just doing a Seattle show, and Chuck was confused.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah, because it's not, there's nothing about Philly.
No.
The ship from Philly is old, and that's when he was in Philly.
Right.
A long time ago.
Yeah, no, and he's on this KZOK website.
Yeah, 1989, that's when he was in Philly.
Okay.
And I went to New York, and my friend went to Philly, and I would go down there sometimes and meet my friend, and my friend was working with Danny. Danny was the, they brought him in as a like a co-host. God,
they do some cheesy shit. So here's one of their bits. Where has Sarah's beaver been? And she takes a stuffed beaver and takes pictures of it around town.
That's why he was dying, Jack.
Yep. You got the Bonadouche doing Where Has Sarah's Beaver Been?
Oh, God. Yeah. Yep. That's fun. Yep. That's fun. I saw something interesting last weekend, and it still is baffling me. And it is the 6-foot-plus Chinese girls volleyball team that I saw.
Oh, I saw that photo you posted.
The girl that plays libreros normally, on our team, our libreros under 5 feet tall. Our libreros,
right,
little tiny thing. They use like a little low to the ground, little girl flies around. Their librero was like 5'10". And everybody else, there were girls as tall as me on that team and taller. And they're 15, 16-year-old girls. Where the fuck do you get that many 6-foot-plus tall girls in China? But I know they have a billion people.
Remember the Chinese Olympic team when they had that massive woman?
Yeah. Dude, this was a lot of girls, all giant, every one of them. Chinese massive monsters. They won the whole tournament, too. They just fucking steamrolled all the way. They never lost.
That's crazy.
They were like Ivan Drago, only Chinese. Oh, God. Yeah, that was a crazy weekend. I ran into Irma there. Remember Irma?
Yeah.
I talked to Irma. I'm walking, and she's like, stretch, and I turn around. There's Irma with her daughter.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. I haven't seen her in a long time.
Her daughter looks exactly like her, but taller than her. And that kid's young. That kid's like 14, 13, something like that, and is really tall. But the guy she married is like 6'6", she said. So the kid's going to be tall. The kid was really nice, and this is her first year of volleyball, so.
Okay.
They were just getting going. So I talked to her for a bit. He's got cancer too, the dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, dude, speaking of that, here's bullshit. Remember, I'm sure I talked about it. A kid that my daughter went to preschool with and went all the way through K-8 with this kid. And there was word that the mom had died. And then it was suicide. Mom had killed herself.
Okay.
Well, my wife, what the fuck? Like, okay, that's horrible and tragic. And they're nice people, and that's awful. And it ends there. And I feel bad for you. My wife, like starts corresponding with the family. Like, let us know. And now they're like, oh, yeah, come over. So they want us to come over. Okay. And my wife's like, oh, great, we'll come. And my brother and his wife, and remember, because my nephew went to the same school, so he knows them as well. So they invite everyone over. And I tell my wife, there's no fucking way I'm going over there. Like,
right.
That's not happening. I don't do death. And I don't do death with people I don't know even more.
Right.
That's not happening. That's just not fucking happening. And then my daughter's like, if he's not going, I'm not going.
Right. Then there was a
So now my wife's over
rebellion.
There. My wife's over there right now with her brother and my nephew. But I'm like, I'm not going. Like, sorry. Tell him I'm at work. Tell him whatever you want to tell him, but I'm not going. That's just not my thing, dude. Absolutely not going to. Like, that's depressing and horrible.
Right.
And like, it's an elephant in the room. Like, I can't not just do, 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 do. So what happened? You know?
Right.
Oh, yeah. It's just a position I don't want to be in. So
I'm nope.
I did not go. Oh, God. Oh, here's a question. Did you ever watch the show Quantum Leap?
Yeah, I remember bits and pieces of it. Like, they were always in the same spot in San Francisco, right? But just in different times?
No, he quantum leaped all around the world, or country at least.
Oh, and it was always that same San Francisco, just in different periods of time.
Oh, no, it was wherever. It was always different periods of time, but he was different people. And every time he looked in the mirror, he wasn't him. And okay. He would go and he would leap into someone's life, and then he would have to fix something that was wrong, and then he would leap to the next story. So I liked it when it was on. It was a good show. And I remember I remember watching it from time to time. And then I was on the app and I saw it on there, the NBC app. And I'm like, oh, I like that show. And then I saw, cool, I'll watch the first episode. I don't remember the first episode. So I watched the pilot episode. And then what's awesome about that, I could go, I don't remember the last episode. So I clicked to and watched the series finale after I watched the first episode.
Okay.
That's the fucking most depressing, awful ending ever.
I don't remember. I mean, I don't know if I ever saw the season finale. I think I only saw a few episodes of it when it originally aired.
Okay, apparently there was the guy that was the hologram, his buddy that worked with him in the program. And Al, his name was Al, and he was like a hologram and no one else could see him but him. And he would talk to him and he'd tell him, well, you got to do this, or the computer's saying the probabilities of blah, blah, blah. And he would try to tell him what to do. And he was always wrong. And then he, at one point, and I didn't even know this either, at one point, he leaped into Al's life. And Al was married and madly in love with this woman, and then he went off to whatever war it was, and it was Vietnam or World War II or whatever, and then was missing. And she got remarried, he was pronounced dead, and then he came back, and his life was never the same. Well, he leaped into his life, and he had the chance to fix it, and he didn't. And so that was, I don't know, at some point during the 5-year run.
Why? Because if he fixed it, he wouldn't have had him as his hologram guy?
You can't alter time like that. Like, you can't tell someone, hey, don't do this because this is going to happen. Like, tell the future.
Okay.
So he had to let the shit play out, and he didn't help him. All right. Well, he fucking, in the last episode, he's in this bar and it turns into like Lost. There's all these people from the show before, but none of them are the people that they played the characters of. And they'd have flashbacks and he'd be like, oh, you're so-and-so. And they'd be like, no, I'm not. And they'd show a flashback of that person on the show before where he jumped in and helped their life or helped someone around them. And then, so he ends up, the bartender is like God. And the bartender is talking to him and he goes, you know, there's one thing you got to do and you could go home anytime you wanted to. This was your decision. He's like, no, it isn't. I want to go home. And he goes, well, what's the one leap you didn't do? And he realized, oh, I should have helped my friend, but I didn't. And he said, why didn't you? And he goes, because I always play by the rules. And then he jumps back to that episode again. And then he tells her, and then the screen goes to black and it says, she didn't remarry. He came home from the war. They have 4 daughters. They're married to this day. And Sam Beckett never came home again because he didn't have his guy anymore. So now he was lost.
He got stuck.
Stuck in time. Stuck in all leaping time. Going forward and helping people and gap to gap to gap. Wait, so he did that forever.
Had to continue just leaping around.
Yes, forever. I'm like, what a bullshit ending.
But he didn't have
ending.
The hologram guy anymore.
I don't think so. Because that's, like, why didn't he ever get home?
Right. That is a weird ending.
And it didn't show anything. He fixed that problem for him with the wife, and then the screen went black and it rolled up. And
why did the bartender tell him he could go home if he did that?
He said, you could go home at any time. It's been your decision all along. And he's like, no, it isn't. I just want to go home. I really want to just go home. And he's like, you know, you've helped a lot of people. You've done a lot of good. And he's trying to tell him, like, and then it made it like maybe he's been dead this whole fucking time. And he hasn't been quantum leaping. He's been, like, you know, being almost guardian angelish. It's fucking weird. I was like, this is another bullshit Lost ending. Are they dead?
That is weird.
I think he was dead. I don't know what the hell happened.
Yeah, I don't think I saw that, and I don't remember ever hearing about it. So the show must have super faded by the time that aired, because I don't remember that being a topic of conversation anywhere.
It was 5 episodes. It ran for 5 episodes. Or five seasons. I'm sorry, it was 5 seasons. Ran for 5 seasons, and that was the last one.
Huh.
Which isn't an enormous run. It's a good run.
No, it's a decent run. And I mean, that show was big enough that, you know, I know the name. I remember that it existed.
We all know Scott Bakula.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, you know who died?
Ooh.
Willie from Elf.
The little kid?
No, Willie the dad.
Oh, the dad. Didn't he get caught smoking crack in a hotel with a hooker once?
A man hooker. And remember they had photos in the Inquirer, and that's all I could think of. Apparently he's been battling cancer for 20 years, and they're like, Willie dies battling cancer. But I was like, his real name is Max something. Max.
Is cancer another word for crack?
But all I can remember, those photos, that was back before TMZ and everything. And to see those photos, I mean, somebody had to like shoot those pictures and develop them of him in a shitty hotel room doing crack with man hookers. And I looked it up today because I was like, God, I remember that. And yep, there was the Inquirer story on it.
And you know what's sad? You said Willie from Alf. I go the kid. You said no, the dad. And I go, oh, the guy that smoked crack in the hotel? Right. Like, that's what he's known for.
Unless you're young and then you're like, I don't know who that is. Like, people at work had no idea who the fuck he was because they didn't even know Alf. Yeah. I told you the other day, Bing and I were trying to find something to watch, and I found episodes of Elf on, like, Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this was pretty funny. And we watched one episode, and it was so bad. It's one of those shows you remember being good, and then when you watch it, you're like, oh, this is crap.
Like Knight Rider?
Yeah. Oh, just like, you know which one still holds up and actually the kids like is the A-Team?
A-Team's good. Dukes of Hazzard's still not bad.
Yeah, we haven't watched that one, but I had hyped up Elf. I'm like, oh, this is funny. You'll like it. He's an alien. And it was so bad. And Bing's like, you like this? You know, like, I was like, I don't remember it being this horrible.
Wait till I show you Punky Brewster.
Right. Or Little Wonder, whatever, Small Wonder.
Remember oh, that? Where she was a robot?
That one was bad even while it was original. Yes. We knew that one was bad when it first aired.
God. Who's the Boss? There was a lot of bad shows on.
Yeah, I see, and all those ones you've named, I haven't seen since they were, like, I know Who's the Boss, Tony Danza, you know, he's the Manny, but I haven't seen it. I bet if I watched it now, it would be horrible.
That little boy, I wonder if he knew he was gay then, because I did.
Right, and he does now, remember, they've...
Yeah, but I, like, wonder, like, if that kid, like, at what point do you realize you're gay? Because watching that show then, I was like, that kid's gay. And that's when gay wasn't as open and out.
That was yelling.
Exactly. When and you could just tell, like, that kid's really, really gay.
I just watched – do you ever – you don't have Netflix, right?
Yeah, we have Netflix.
Do you ever watch the David Letterman interview show called My Next Guest Needs
– I've seen it, but I haven't watched – I mean, I've seen it on there, but I haven't watched it.
I just watched a few of them. I skipped Kanye, but Ellen was one of them. And she told some interesting – like, I didn't realize after she came out and they – you know, she had 1 year left of her sitcom.
They fired her.
And they canceled it, and she couldn't get work, and she's like, Finding Dory kind of saved her. They came to her, and she said she did that for scale with Finding Dory.
Holy shit, really?
She's like, yeah, I made like $75,000. I just needed a job. You know, I hadn't been – and then – from there is how she got the talk show. But that, like, being in Finding Dory, and she said the dude contacted her and just thought she'd be perfect for the role, kind of saved her ass.
Wow.
I just kind of think of her now as always being big, because I think that show has now run like 16 years.
Yeah, she's about to Oprah it. She's about to check out, right, in 2 years or something. She announced her departure date, I thought.
I thought she said she had 2 years left on her deal, but I don't know if there was a decision made.
I thought she was checking out in 2 years or whatever it was at the end of, like, the deal.
Didn't Rosie quit, and then Rosie went off the rails?
That's one. Rosie had this show. She was in the closet, Everyone loved Rosie. That was the biggest talk show on television outside of Oprah. And
shooting cush balls at people.
And she talked about how she had a crush on Tom Cruise all the time and how cute he was and da-da-da-da-da. And she was this, like huggable, laughable, like, fun lady. And then she quit that show and just came out as this mean, ornery lesbian. she seriously flipped.
Yep.
God. I want to be... I get be the real you, but it's just crazy how
different the real her was from the talk show her.
Yeah, it just shows you what an actor was.
The funny part is, too, watching the David Letterman show, I was thinking about this the other day. He is so nice and likable now, but I don't think Dave was always like that.
No, he's a dick.
Yeah, I used to hear he was a dick and people on the set would hate him because he was an ass. But now when you see him, he's super – well, he's also super old, but he's super likable and mellow. But I know that's not how he was when he was younger. I remember hearing stories that people fucking hated him.
Okay. Jay Leno is one of the nicest people I've ever met. Always been nice. Just a nice guy.
All the time.
Yes. Even super now. Fucking nice guy. Right. And then there was Letterman, who was a dick. And then they got into that feud because he was going to get the Tonight Show because Johnny wanted him to have it, not Jay. And then Jay would fill in for Johnny because Johnny was out all the fucking time. And ended up the numbers were better when Jay was there than when Johnny was there. And then NBC was like, fuck you, we're giving it to him. And it started that whole feud. And everybody thought, oh, wow, Letterman's going to blow him away. And he did for about a year. And then it switched and he never touched him again. And he was a dick about it.
But, yeah, it's just seeing him now, it's like a totally different guy and the opposite of Rosie. I'm like, he seems so much more likable and just, mellow. And, I mean, he's basically retired. He does this Netflix show because he wants to.
It's like Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars or whatever it is.
Or Jay Leno, I think, has a garage show, too, that he likes.
That's just a lot of really rich dudes that people still want to give shows to. And they're like, okay, but I want to do this.
Yeah, and they just let him.
Yeah, part of being a celebrity.
Yep.
If they said we want to do a radio show, they would say, okay, here.
Yeah, that's true.
It's weird. Oh, yeah. Leno's on that show that my our friend's mom produces, the Tim Allen Show.
Did you know, really?
He's on that, yeah.
Like regularly?
Yeah, he's a character.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he's not Jay Leno, and they always make jokes about him and about Leno and shit like that, but... He's not Jay Leno on there. He's a guy that works in the garage on cars. It's a far stretch, but.
I didn't know. I thought he didn't really want to work that much anymore. I didn't know he was on a sitcom regularly.
Yeah. He's on that, what the hell's it called?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I
Last Man Standing. That's it.
Right. No. I wanted to say Tool Time.
Because it's basically the same show, only he works in a sporting goods store and he has three daughters instead of three sons.
Right. Yeah, it's not that different a show.
No, it's the same show.
Lucy's calling. Hold on, let me just tell her I'm doing the podcast. Hello? Because I'm doing the podcast. So how about I call you back when I'm done? All right. Love you, bye. All right, there we go.
What's up with Luce?
She just wants to call. I mean, she is nothing. She's in summer school, and next week is her finals, so she's just had a shitload of homework. She sprained her ankle, so she hasn't been – to games, but she hasn't been able to play. That means I have not been going to games because I'm not going to
– Yeah. I'm not going to watch you watch a game.
Right.
Dude, last weekend we had the coach threw – two girls off the team during the tournament.
For good or just during,
gone. You're out. Well, believe me, you get thrown out during tournaments. Like, go home because season's over. Like, that was the end. Sunday was the last tournament. Okay. Was last day. Sent two girls off the team during the tournament. Told another one he's brutally honest, but it was fucked. Like, oh, yeah, if you come to this tournament, you're not playing once. So if you want to go on a lower team, you can. And
Did he throw the girls off? Were they being jerks or he just felt like they weren't good enough?
One girl he hasn't liked. He seriously has an issue with this girl. There was a lot of drama this year, and he said she was the cause of the drama when really it was him not being tactful with teenage girls. Is really what it was.
It's an art form to talk to teenage girls.
And especially to deal with a whole crew of them. It's not like dealing with one. And his daughter's on the team.
Okay.
So then one girl who absolutely loved this kid, sweetest girl. This girl lives down near SC.
Okay.
And she walked to the train, which wasn't that far from her house. But then she would take the train to the Culver City station and then walk from the Culver City station to Culver City High School to every fucking practice, which is at least 2 hours of walking each
way. Yeah, that's not easy to do.
It's insane. And this kid was dedicated. She came to everything. And then she didn't show up to the tournament on Friday because her school had a 4-hour tryout all 4 days.
Okay.
But here's the crazy thing. Her high school coach owns our club. So he had these 4-hour practices and he had her there. During the practice, she dove for a ball and smashed her front teeth out.
Oh, God.
Okay. Then went and had the emergency dental thing done, had it put in, and then came the next day and said, hey, I can't play because I have to have a mouth guard or something like it. And, you know, and granted, you just had your teeth knocked out.
Right.
And he fucking lost it and threw her off. Go home. I don't want you here. You're done. Get out.
Oh, that's kind of crazy.
Like, what the fuck is that about?
And like, isn't the owner of the league, or the club, going to be pissed because now this is his girl from the school
team? School. Yeah. It's weird. It's crazy weird. I think he's mad, and he does have a right in one sense. She never called to tell him, hey, I'm not coming. She just didn't come to the first 2 days of a 4-day tournament, which is a big freaking deal.
Right.
And no one called, and she lives with her mom, and her dad lives out of state, and the mom works all the time. Like, we take this girl home a lot because the mom's working.
Right, because she needs a ride.
Yes, absolutely. And she's a great kid. Love that kid. And it was so fucked up. I'm like, dude, we're falling apart.
Right. Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah.
So, wait, so this is it for club now? The season's over?
Club is done.
Until when? When does that start up in December again?
Well, you try out in August. And then August you try out, and then you start practicing right the second your school season's over. And depends on how far you go in the playoffs. So it could be November.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, but it could be October, depending on if everyone in your team is done.
Okay.
But you can't do both, and high school coaches won't let you do it, and it's a whole thing. So,
right.
In fact, they moved the high school season to accommodate clubs.
Oh, okay. Like,
we start playing games 2 weeks before school starts.
So that it ends sooner?
Yeah, so that it ends sooner so the club season can get going. And we have...
Why does it matter if the club season starts? You know, is it just because the holidays are going to be in the middle? To me, they shouldn't start until after January, because if you start in November, you get all these holidays that muck up your season.
You start practicing in October. You don't have a game until December.
Oh, okay. Just practicing.
Yeah. So it's just practicing. So they don't mind. They'll take breaks, you know, for the holidays. And
right.
All that.
Okay. So they're not actually starting the season.
Yeah. Season doesn't start till like the week before Christmas now is the first tournament. And they move that back. That used to be January was your first tournament. Now it's December.
Okay.
They just keep adding and adding and adding.
Right.
Oh, man. I have to work this weekend. I'm doing a thing for my boss. My boss is very political.
So is that overtime? Because you said they don't want to do overtime.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't mind it. He doesn't want you milking. You know what I mean? They're not going to let you milk. You know, people come in and, like, punch in early and hang around. And, like, I'm not a milker, though, so I'm not worried about that. But they watch you on that to make sure you're not.
So you're working both days this weekend?
Just Sunday. I'm working Sunday. I'm driving some dude.
That's not too bad. And then you get 4th of July off?
Yeah. 4th of July. But because of the nature of our business, no holidays do we get double. We get like Christmas Day. We get Thanksgiving Day.
You don't get like the Friday off or whatever?
No, there's never a 4-day weekend or anything like that. But we can't because so much business happens and we have to move merch. We've got merch to move, and that merch has got to move, and it only moves by FedEx and UPS and semis. And
right.
So we would never close for the 2 days. But trust me, the boss won't be there.
Right. I don't get Friday off. I mean, I can take it off.
Yeah.
But I'm going to wait and see what my – if I don't have kids, I probably won't take it off because why waste the day off? But we'll see.
And you'll probably leave early anyway. You know what I mean? Because nothing's going on those extra days typically.
Yeah, and I don't have super set hours anyway, so.
So you know what's crazy? At my job, I know this is how July 5th is going to go. We're all going to get there. We're all going to clock in. And the dudes in the back are going to work their regular fucking day like it's any other day. Everybody in the office knows the boss isn't going to be there, and they're all going to bounce by noon.
Right, right.
And then I can't leave because the dudes in the back, that's where the money comes from.
Yeah,
so, I got to do my thing until my time is up. So, oh, fuck. It's speaking of that, and then whatever I'm doing Sunday, my boss goes, oh, Monday I want you to go take one of the cars to this place. And I go, all right, cool. Is so-and-so going to follow me? He goes, no, just Uber back. And I'm like, now I have to get Uber. I've been adamant about not getting the Uber app and not doing Uber.
Well, then, or just take a cab and expense it, you know?
Yeah, I can expense it either way, but I know I don't want to turn in a $70 cab ride
because it's going to be look like a grandpa. Like, here's my cab receipt.
Exactly. He'll be like, I told you to Uber. Motherfucker.
I personally like Lyft better than Uber. That's the one I use. They're both, you know, same concept, but Lyft I prefer to Uber.
How do you get your receipt?
It's emailed to you, and then you just print the email. Like when I would expense my old job.
Yeah.
They send you a receipt on your email, and then you can just print out that email, and that's what you use for the receipt.
And you don't tip them, do you?
No, you can. It's in the app. It'll say add tip, and you can add in whatever you want.
Here's a tip. Don't eat yellow snow, motherfucker.
that's not a good tip for LA. Well,
here is something interesting that it's happening in Santa Monica and Burbank this weekend. That is Stranger Things.
Yeah, I'm going to both.
Yeah.
I'm going to the pier on Sunday and then to the ice cream shop on the 2nd.
What's at the pier? Like, I know they're doing something, but I don't know what they're doing.
Apparently there's a scene in this season's or part of this season's Stranger Things takes place at like a festival in town.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to make the pier look like that town festival. And then they're going to transfer the Baskin Robbins on Alameda, you know, the big one.
Yeah. See, I knew. I knew what they were doing. Yeah. The Baskin Robbins was going to be an ice cream store from the show. And they have all these Stranger Things flavors. But my daughter loves that show.
So does my kids. So, you know, on Saturday, I bought tickets. We're going to this SAG-AFTRA outdoor screening. What they're going to do is they're going to have Hopper, the police chief, talk for. Then they're going to show us the last episode of last season. And then the first episode of this season, 5 days before you can see it, my kids are shitting their pants.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Yeah. So we're doing that on Saturday. Sunday, we're going to the pier because we can't do that because we're doing the other thing on Saturday. So Sunday, we're doing the pier thing for Stranger Things. And then I told them I'd take them to the Baskin Robbins thing on the 2nd when that opens. So we have a Stranger Things week lined up here.
See, and it's cool, too, because it's the 4th of July week. So there's, you know, downtime and stuff. I'll see if she wants to go. She was like, oh, cool, but I'll see if she wants to go to the pier. She probably will because she loves that show, but.
Yeah, it seemed pretty cool. You know, remember when you and I went to the Quickie Mart?
Yes, that was awesome.
That's what it reminded me of. I honestly thought of that today. I was like, remember when Stench and I went to the Quickie Mart that they did at the Burbank 7-Eleven? And I don't even remember what was that around. Oh, the Simpsons movie.
The Simpsons movie came out and they changed that 7-Eleven into Quickie Mart, like completely changed the store.
Completely. You went inside. It was all Quickie Mart stuff. Like, they put a lot of effort into that.
Didn't they paint the outside and everything? Like, they totally did that place up.
Yep. And it was cool. And I have a feeling that's kind of what they're going to do with the Baskin Robbins and the pier.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Netflix has sunk a lot of money into this.
That's their big show.
This season.
That's their big show.
And my kids cannot wait. So today, Lucy called. That's probably why she's calling me. She was pissed because Stranger Things did a collaboration with Nike, and they made special Nikes. And she thought they were going on sale tomorrow, but they went on sale today. And so she missed out, and she was pissed. And now they're reselling. First of all, they were $120 to begin with.
Holy shit. Now they're on eBay.
Now they're on sneaker exchange for like $250.
Oh, God.
And I'm trying to – I mean, like at $120, they seem too expensive to me.
Yeah, they are.
But they've done – I mean, everybody's jumping on this. They did a collaboration with Stranger Things. I just saw somebody else had a Stranger Things promo going on.
Think about it. There's no commercials, so they got to make money somehow.
Yep.
You know, all of those products are in the movie.
Yeah, no. They'll be, you know, these were retro style Nikes, and I guarantee you that's what the kids will be wearing.
What kind of Nikes are they?
There's a few different kinds. If you look up,
my daughter just asked me for some Nikes that I know are retro fucking Nikes.
Oh, they might be those. Some of them go on sale on July 1st, but some apparently went on sale today, and she is pissed because the one she wanted went on sale today. But it is it's a collaboration with Nike, and they have about, I don't know, a dozen different variations.
Speaking of expensive gear, this is funny. Okay, the Lakers is phenomenal since we last done a show. They got Anthony Davis, which is awesome.
And they got rid of that pain in the ass dad.
Yeah, that pain in the ass. Even though his kid was going to be really good, I don't know if he's going to be a superstar. But
is it worth it to have to deal with that dad?
Yeah, it's good he's gone.
Yeah.
Dad's gone. That guy's gone. And that kid was hurt a lot. But then
Where did he go?
New Orleans.
Oh, good. They can have the dad. That's a good place for him.
But we got Anthony Davis, who's also hurt a lot. So hopefully they all stay healthy. But then they traded off some dead weight off the roster today. And Anthony Davis, the kid they got from New Orleans, the other superstar, he waived the $4 million, so now they can get another superstar. Like, the Lakers are looking at possibly having three superstars by the time the season starts. Like, right now with LeBron and Anthony Davis, that's two of the best five players in the NBA. Now,
and do they have a good coach now?
He's a coach. He hasn't done much, but he hasn't had a superstar roster either.
Because didn't they just change coaches or get rid of the old coach?
They got rid of Luke, and then they fucked up, and they should have got Ty Lue, but they didn't, and they insulted him, and then he said, fuck you, and they went and got another guy and said, oh, yeah, fuck you.
Okay.
I think he tried to play hardball and got fucking lost the gig because now he doesn't have a job.
Oh, really? Yeah. He has nothing?
Yeah. And but here was the thing. So Anthony Davis had a $4 million bonus due, and he waived it, and that – allowed them to get to the point of being able to buy another superstar, $32 million. So LeBron now has announced he's giving Anthony Davis his number. They both wore 23.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, wait a minute. That's not LeBron. They must have told LeBron, hey, do this, and we'll give you a piece of the jersey action. Because now anybody that has a LeBron jersey has to buy another one. He's changing his number.
Yeah, that's a good scam. I didn't think about that.
Yes, it is. Just like when Kobe switched numbers, all those Kobe jerseys you saw, like there were millions of them. Now I had to go get another one.
Yep. And didn't Kobe switch it because it was the rape number before?
So, I think so. He had the raper number and the non-raper number.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But I saw him week before last, too, at a volleyball tournament walking around.
Oh, really? Does he have a kid that plays?
He owns a league.
A volleyball? Do you know he owns that basketball training gym out by my kids?
Okay.
Mamba Academy?
Yeah. He has a Mamba Volleyball Club, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The Mamba Volleyball Club is his daughter's play, and I think one of them is in my daughter's age group. They're good. It's a good club. They didn't used to be. This year, they're really good, which they're finally attracting.
That's how you know your dad's rich, when he just buys a club. You like volleyball? Okay.
Oh, my God. We played a team over the weekend, and there was a girl on that team, and she was bigger than everybody. She was the best player in that entire tournament, including those fucking Amazonian fucking Chinese girls.
Right.
She was phenomenal. And they were Brazilian, and the mom owned the league that they played for. Dude, and she was like one-on-one shorty had to paddle that girl, man. It was gnarly. She already got in her head and rattled her. It was fucking awesome. because the kid was so good and so dominant that she could just was used. She was way bigger. She was well over 6 feet tall, and she could jump. She could hit from the back row like our girls could hit from the front row, like down, right. And she was fucking good. But Shorty started blocking her balls, which hadn't been happening because she hit so fucking hard. And then she scored on her when she went up to block Shorty. Shorty awesome. Scored 3 points in a row on her, and the girl didn't recover. And it was like some people, when they're that good, they can't handle
when they start to lose.
Yeah, they can't handle adversity. They're all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, this is what's happened to me. And then the kid seriously imploded. We lost the game, but we went 3 with them and barely lost. It was such a good game. It was one of those games that when we lose, I was so happy and proud of our girls. Because, you know, when you lose a good close game where you battle, there's no shame in that. When you get your ass spanked by a team you should have beat, there's shame in that.
Right.
Yeah. But, and then we had that happen too. But that one was a great game. And that girl, oh my God, just a beast.
Well, that's the problem. She's getting older now, so she's going to come up against all those massive girls now.
And by the way, there's a shitload of girls already full college scholarships, you know, in her.
Oh, yeah, they already know. Like,
yeah. Dude, one of the girls she played with in junior high has a full ride to Pepperdine right now. I know another one's got a full ride to Irvine. One of the girls on her team has an offer as she hasn't accepted yet to, like, Cal Poly. Like, there's a lot of, like, their offers are already coming. It's crazy.
No, it is crazy how quick that, you know, they'll lock you in.
Yeah, but it's smart.
Yeah.
I would love to know where this girl's locked in. That girl's good. She was really good.
Probably USC or UCLA. Don't they usually have, like, the kick-ass teams? And isn't Loyola one of the best teams, too?
They're good. They're not as good as UCLA. Last year, USC was better, and that's a rarity. Usually it's UCLA. It's the powerhouse at girls volleyball.
Right. So it's locally, one of those two schools, probably, right?
Texas is great. Nebraska is great. There's a lot of big schools that are really freaking good. But, man, it's crazy time.
And the Dodgers are doing well, right?
Yeah, they're, like, just blowing it out, way out front.
But don't they do that every year and then they get in the World Series and choke?
No, remember, last year they barely – they were losing the division up until the very end. They had to come back just to win the division, let alone get into the World Series. That's the thing about baseball. Not everybody – it's not like football or basketball where everybody makes the playoffs just about. Like, you got to suck to not make the playoffs. You got to win the division, and then there's a wild card team where one or two teams get in, but it's not like other sports. You can have a great season and not make the playoffs.
Huh.
So, yeah, and then there's a thing starting with it, the young guy, was it Bellinger or whatever, where underage girls are running out on the field and hugging him.
Yeah.
That's dangerous, man. That's a dangerous precedent, and it's happened like 5 or 6 games in a row.
For sure. And I felt bad for that guy. He was the one who hit the girl with the line drive the other night.
Oh, God.
Hit the ball, went into the stands, and nailed her in the head. Now, luckily, she didn't die like that old woman last year. But
Jesus.
You could tell he felt like shit that he had just nailed this girl in the stands. They said they're going to extend the netting.
They're going to have to. And at this point, I'm sorry, there's a clear something you could put up there.
You would think technology-wise. And now these guys hit the ball so hard and they pitch so fast that these balls are coming out at speeds that are just insane. They have to do something.
Yeah, and you know, even if it moves, if it's you can't make a clear net that you would barely even be able to notice.
Like fishing line or something, right?
Something like, and it'd slow a ball down so it wouldn't kill you.
Right.
And just like – people have sat behind home plate forever, and they seem fine, and there's always something there.
My uncle used to have the season tickets behind home plate at the Padres, and it was awesome. I didn't care there was a net in front of me, you know? In fact,
you were probably happy there was a net there.
Yes.
God. Remember that time you and I were at Dodger Stadium, and the fucking – I remember sitting in those seats, and a foul ball coming our way, and all I had time to do was duck, and I could hear it fly over my head.
remember, those seats were brand new, and they put them basically in foul ball range. They were on the field, but they had moved forward right up. I mean, like, they were great seats, but you're right, they were terrifying.
They were like dugout seats where they were dug into the ground, you're right, on the first baseline, and it sounded like a bottle rocket flying over your head. That's how fucking fast that ball was going.
Yeah, it was terrifying, those
seats. We were grown-ass men, and there was no fucking way anything. It was duck and hope it didn't hit you, and I remember ducking and hearing it fly by. It's like, holy shit, that's scary.
No, those seats were scary. I don't think I'd want to sit there again.
Yeah, especially with a kid.
Well, the thing is, see, like this girl said, you're not always paying attention. She said her mom had asked her if she wanted nachos or something. You know what I mean? Like her mom had asked her a question. The guy hit the ball, and the next thing you know, it was bouncing off her forehead.
Oh, my God. Oh, dude, I got hit in the face with a volleyball line shot right in my eye. Oh,
God, just that
thrilled. I actually laughed hysterically. It just, it stings, but it's just like, pow, oh my God, I got drilled.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah, it was funny.
I remember once when I was a kid, my dad played racquetball.
Oh, shit.
And he was warming up or something. I don't know, but I caught a racquetball in the eye, and I had a black eye the next day.
Yeah, see, volleyball's bigger. It hit me straight in the eye, but it also hit my forehead and cheekbone and bounced off. And it bounced into my face. It didn't direct shot me.
Right.
It fucking hurt. It was smack. It was like getting slapped in the face really fucking hard. Oh, God. We're out of time. It's time for us to go.
Let's go smack people.
I got to go get my suit out.
Next week is 4th of July, so I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah, we'll see how the week lies if we get something done.
Yeah, cool. We'll just figure it out then.
We'll figure it out. Everybody, enjoy your week. We'll talk to you then. So peace out.
Jack off.
Bye-bye.